Are you hearing God and are you speaking out what he's asking? Okay, God, I use it as simple as he's telling me, you need to go tell Tiffany the sky is blue and the grass is green. Like, she knows the sky is blue and the grass is green, God. Like, but I have no idea what she's asked God because I'm not in that relationship and in that talk that she's having. And she could be asking him as simple, like, Lord, you need to send somebody to tell me that the sky is blue and the grass is green because I don't believe right now. And I need to know that there's really a God and that you really hear me. And if I don't go pick up the phone and call her and be like, Tip, I think God's telling me I need to tell you the sky is blue and the grass is green. And I feel like I'm an idiot for saying this. So take it or leave it. And literally, everybody should be like, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. But how many times do we not do that? Do we not follow through?
Truth Rising was made possible thanks to the Kimberly Tower Foundation. The KTF is a united force devoted to uplifting and empowering women and children. Through their efforts, they kindle a sense of belonging, spur personal growth, and create an enduring legacy of impact. To learn more, please see the show notes and look into the ktf4love.org. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses, located in Pensacola, Florida. Costello's offers Wagyu, a deli, fine wines, desserts, just all the things. Also, if you're a child, 7 days a week, you can walk into Costello's and get yourself a free sack lunch. That's right, I said free. I think we've hit 130,000 so far. So go in, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and you will be so glad you did. Ladies, it's time. It's time we get back to the basics. It's time we get back to God's design for our lives. It's time we drink from the living water. So meet us at the well. It's not too late. He's waiting. Hey, friends, it is Tiffany and Tara. TNT. I'm just kidding. That doesn't get old. I'm going to use that as a joke. Oh, well, we are just, you know, we're here for a chat. We're here for a chat and we hope you'll join us. And yeah, Tara, you look pretty.
You guys, she's being really nice. I just rolled out of bed and a messy bun on the top of my head. My eyes are puffy. It's a great day. I got barely any sleep last night because my kids love me, but I have.
Don't worry. The day is coming when you can wake them up at 3 a.m. and tell them that your toe hurts. Okay. So don't worry, babe. It's
coming. Have you seen those videos where the parents walk into the kids' houses and they're like, I'm gonna eat chips? That's gonna be me when my kids get older. I'm gonna be like, oh, it's okay. You just clean up after me. I'm just kidding.
No, and so this is actually round two. Tara and I, a miracle happened yesterday. We were able to record a podcast. Two of them. Whatever reason, we think it's because we did not pray in the name of Jesus to get this done. Not on my computer. Never has happened before. So both. I'm talking two podcasts. That was the miracle first. So then today, second miracle, we have time again. What? So here we are. So, and we're just going to come on and we're going to be like, hey, let's just give some updates because there's been too much and we don't want to go through all of it. And so instead, like, let's just give the Cliff Notes update of how you been? Where you been? What's been going on? And maybe what's something Jesus has been doing just in your, like, what has he shown you lately? What have you seen lately that maybe you didn't notice before?
Well, I knew it. I'm a sinner and I fall short every single day and I need God or else my life is a hot mess.
It's already.
Even with him, it's a hot mess. But I can get through it better with him.
Hey, I may be a dumpster fire, but a lot of people use those to stay warm. Okay, so use this dumpster fire. Or like Tara's t-shirt said, God uses hot mess because that is the truth. So anyways, go ahead. You're a sinner. You need Jesus always. I
mean, doesn't that just wrap it up? That's I'm in a season. I think this is where I've been at lately. Like, I personally want to do so much more every single day in my walk to help others. I feel like God gives me visions for things. And like, the homeless situation is horrible and I drive through downtown and my heart just like oozes and wants to help them. But I have three small children. I'm like, okay, Lord, why are you putting that on my heart? How do I help others? Because I feel like right now my mission field is my children and raising them to be disciples. And I trust God, but it's still scary to take your three small children out to do that type of work. So I'm trying to figure that out, but I'm realizing that it's okay that my mission field is my children right now. And maybe he's putting that on my heart so that I can slowly work through it and figure out how to be that to be my mission field. How do I step into that eventually?
And your mission field, I mean, Tara has everything from a toddler to a teen. So she is really honestly
13, 6, and 2. My head's spinning all
day
long.
So many feelings. So many feelings are happening.
Way too many emotions in my house. I need Jesus, you guys. So let's talk about that. Where do you need to pray? It's okay to pray in the middle of a teenager meltdown, a 6-year-old meltdown, and a 2-year-old meltdown, because otherwise mama loses her mind. But there, that's, I think, what it is. My mission field right now is my kids. And I struggle because I sit here and I look at that little device, you know, called the phone, and I see everybody else and I'm like, wow, they're doing so much. Why am I not doing enough? And I feel like I'm surviving most of the time between, I mean, this summer has been nonstop. And then I'm like, oh, I need to be doing this, this, and this. And I feel like God, I'm not in a waiting season, but he's just like telling me, it's okay. Slow down and focus at what's in front of you. My husband's going to retire in the next 4 years. And I feel like I keep being like, well, in 4 years, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this. And it's like, wait a second. Why am I putting all my life on hold for 4 years? Let's just live in today. And how am I going to raise my kids to be good humans that love Jesus? I want to help others and just be productive in society. That would be great to be living in this world, but not of this world. And everything in hell wants to stop you from doing that. And that's hard. It is really hard. And I guess I just had this idea that I would be a mom and everything would be great. And I would follow Jesus and it would be miracle butterflies and rainbows. And that's not what it is. So
you haven't died yet.
No, but I'm alive. Like, it's the same thing I tell my kids.
No, I mean, that's heaven, babe.
But it's like, did you wake up today? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have food in your belly? Do you have clothes on your back? Like, just because one thing didn't go the way that you wanted, and this is something my middle one is struggling with, just because you had one bad moment doesn't mean your whole day's ruined or your whole life is ruined. That's been one. My life is over. And it's like, I don't know if God's doing that to show me, like, hey, just because you're not where you thought you were going to be at this age, or the things that you wanted aren't happening, doesn't mean your life is ruined. Doesn't mean your day is ruined. It just means that right here in this moment, this is where you need to be. So I think my kids, God's teaching me through my kids, like
always,
you need to look at how you're saying things or you're doing things because they are a representation of who we are. Yes. Do they get influenced by society? Yes. That's as much as we try for it to not happen. It happens, but it's a good look in the mirror of like, okay.
Well, because they emulate you, yeah, right? Like they're going to be their own and that's what it is, but they will grow up and emulate you and you see that. And sometimes it is, it's like, ah.
I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Do I sound like that? So I started asking my kids, did you just hear yourself? Is that how mommy talks to you? Is that what I say to you? And there's been times that it's a hard, yeah. And I'm like, ooh, okay, well, I'm sorry. That's not okay. And literally in that moment, we stop and go, okay, Lord, can you please help us tame our tongue? Can you help us with our hearts? Can you, you know, whatever the issue is at that moment, we're praying about it.
So well, I guess it's not just teaching our kids. Scripture says to train them up. There's a lot more involved when you put that word in.
Yeah.
And that is a huge calling because we as parents will stand before God and he's going to ask us about that. And
in society, we're going so fast right now. I feel like the pace of the world is like on, you know, when you can hit like 12 times fast forward on the TV, that's how I feel life is. And I feel like sometimes our kids, not sometimes, probably all the time, our kids get the short end of the stick because we're constantly, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and we're going 1,000 miles per hour. But do we slow down? Like, they don't deserve that. They deserve us to be slow and patient and raising them. They don't know any better. That's our job, to sit there and raise them and teach them. And they're not going to learn by us screaming and yelling at them and telling them, come on, hurry, 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 let's go. And it's really made me go, okay, you need to take a step back. Like this summer, my main focus was for my kids, which I think is every parent's main focus, to enjoy their summer and just go at a slow pace and it not be, we had a lot happen, but we had a lot of good time together as mm-hmm. a family and a lot of good, hard conversations as a family.
Well, and I'll say too, just outside looking in, this was one of the first times in a long time you were able to first prioritize your marriage. Yeah. And both you and your husband, you could have made other choices with how to spend that time. And you guys chose each other. And I think that is what has trickled. I have seen Tara for years now, and it's looked very heavy. And I'm not talking just all her marriage, just her life is just, that's her life. But at the same time,
comes to fire all the time.
But this was one of the first times in a long time I saw just that light brighter, and it wasn't so heavy. It was like that hope that you can only find in Christ. But because I think you and him have both been in a position where God gave you the opportunity to make that choice. Are you going to prioritize your marriage or not? And you were like, yes, because that's the order, right? It goes God, marriage, children. What do we usually do? Children, marriage, maybe friends before that, job. And then somewhere we fit God in. And it's like, we got to get our priorities and our order back.
Absolutely. Well, and I think also just surrounding yourself, like I have to say, there's things that I've walked through. And if I didn't have the group of women, Truth Rising, our team, if I didn't have those core women to fall back on and be like, hey guys, I need prayer in this moment, or just to bounce things off of you alone, me calling you and saying like, whatever the situation, and you being like, hey, let's take a step back and look at it. And this is what you need to do. So surrounding my family and myself with people that are walking the same walk.
Well, those who surround themselves with fools will be fools. But if you surround yourselves with wise, you know, you will be wise, because we have to stop choosing our friends and allow God to choose them for us.
Yeah. So I think, I guess this season I've made the choice to live my life for God, because I feel like this has been a slow progression of my relationship with God, where I am finally at a point where I'm like, okay, I'm putting God before my marriage. I'm putting God before my kids. I'm putting God before everything. And I'm laying everything at his feet, where that has not always been my walk. And does it mean I'm perfect? No, I stumble every single day and I mess up all the time. But the difference between then and now is that I say it out loud when I mess up, and I am okay with being like, okay, Lord, I messed up right there. Please forgive me. And I'm okay with asking my kid, my husband, my friend, whoever it may be, my parents, I'm sorry. That was not right, what I just said or how I handled that. Can you forgive me? Which is huge words and feels, tastes disgusting coming out of your mouth sometimes. Sometimes it really
hurts. But then it feels so good.
But it feels good afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a crazy season, and it will continue to be a crazy season. And I look forward to the day where my season is on the streets doing the work that God wants me to do.
Yeah.
But I think he's teaching me so that I'm stronger. I know he's teaching me so that I'm stronger for when I get to that point, you know, like he's teaching me, he's training my eyes and my ears right now. And he's seeing if I'm ready to listen and speak out the things that he wants me to speak out.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's a good summary.
We could bless others if we open our mouths and we keep it to ourselves. This is one of the things I said yesterday and it deleted was, are you hearing God and are you speaking out what he's asking? There's things that come up on my heart and I'm like, okay, God, I use it as simple as he's telling me, you need to go tell Tiffany the sky is blue and the grass is green. Like, she knows the sky is blue and the grass is green, God. Like, but I have no idea what she's asked God, because I'm not in that relationship and in that talk that she's having. And she could be asking him as simple, like, Lord, you need to send somebody to tell me that the sky's blue and the grass is green, because I don't believe right now. And I need to know that there's really a God and that you really hear me. And if I don't go pick up the phone and call her and be like, Tip, I think God's telling me I need to tell you the sky's blue and the grass is green. And I feel like I'm an idiot for saying this. So take it or leave it. And literally everyone should be like, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. But how many times do we not do that? Do we not follow through and pick up the phone to call that person? We don't pay for the coffee of the person that's behind us because we're like, oh, I don't want to say anything. Or we don't stop and ask how that person's day is. Those are simple things that God is like, hey, are you going to slow down enough to do what I'm asking you to do? Sometimes he's not asking you to go move a mountain. He's just asking you to buy a coffee for the person behind mm-hmm. you. And that's going to change their life. And that's the blessing they needed. So don't rob other people's of blessings. Just do what he's asking you to do. Oh, that's where I'm at, I guess.
We're on the roll. Okay. None of that came out yesterday.
There you go. That's why he said I'm deleting.
Get that on a shirt too. So we've got God used this hot mess. That's the Holy Spirit, babe. And now you can't bless others if you don't open your mouth or something. I don't remember exactly what you said. There's your next one.
Coming to a website near you.
I'm her first model. You're welcome.
Thank you. It'll be coming. It's coming.
I am not modeling that. Anyways, but I have been. It's worked. I've gotten many conversations off the shirt she's been making me, which has been really awesome. And it's a good conversation starter.
We love conversation starters, don't we?
That's what my husband did it a long time ago. He was like, get rid of my shirt. I want everything that something references Jesus. And I was like, what? And they have to be tri-blend. And so I started buying him just random shirts. Like, there's really good ones like Squat Like Samson and First Jesus, Then Bacon or something. Like, just also all my role models went to prison. It's got like Paul and like all the names. Anyway, there's some really good ones. So, and then I was like, well, I want that. And so I was trying to find a lot. And then Tara's like, I can make those. So she started making them with my lovely sleeve. I like my longer sleeves. And she does a great job of getting the sleeves just how I want. That is the shirt biz. Yeah. That was also, that's been happening.
That's been happening. I'm fighting him on that one. But, you know, he knows what he's doing. And if I can honor him.
It's evolving naturally. It's just like an organic coming of this. Are we able to say the name?
I mean, it's not official, but
did you buy it?
I put in for my business license.
Okay, so it's three part apparel. Get it? Three parts: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
It'll be coming soon. That was in the process.
Mm-hmm. And you're also the first actual paid employee of the KTF, the Kimberly Tower Foundation, which is why this exists here at Truth Rising. And you'll hear more about that to come. So Tara's had a lot happening.
It's been a busy season, but it's all
been good stuff. That's
exactly what he was doing. So
it has been really good stuff.
Yeah. So it's been a good season and I'm excited to see what else comes. But I think even all those good things happen, I'm like, okay, Lord, but are you sure this is what we should be doing? And I think naturally as humans, we always say we want more and, oh, but I could be doing this or that. And that's not the point. I keep reaching for more and God's like, hey, look at what I laid in front of you. So just walk it out for a little bit.
Well, sure we're hearing his voice, because I think I've said it now a couple of times, but the devil, if he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so the only way to differentiate between the two is that you know the sound of God's voice. It's like a baby who hears a bird, doesn't know it's a bird until it starts to learn that. So you need to be in relationship with him so that in the midst of either the storm or just the chaos and the craziness, you know that voice and it is able to get your attention. Because most of us, what we do is we just put him on mute instead. And we allow him to be muffled and then we miss it. And we miss him.
I always tell my dad, can he like be a big booming voice on a speaker like they say?
This is God.
Like, you need to listen.
Yes. Or, you know, like I'll take the burning bush. That is fine.
I'll freak out, but just give me the burning bush.
The cloud for the Israelites by day so that it wasn't sunny, and then the fire by night. Like, but then they'd be like, you get the Holy Spirit, girl. What are you talking about? And I'm like, that's true. That's true. So, yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, where are you at?
Okay. I think there's two parts in my life that are just, it's just happening. Things, you know, things are happening. So first and foremost, I think that my family life, the reality finally has set in. I said routine and then I laughed.
What's routine?
What? Because I said, you know, we're a military family. We have recently moved. So whatever, all the things that come with that. And I work full time and it's just, you know, it's super funnest. That's basically it. But there has been a lot like lately that I've, God actually has been really sweet. He brought us a sitter that I really like, which is huge and essential, because I was looking at my husband the other day and I was like, I really miss you. We can't ever have a conversation, I feel like. And it is a struggle and we have to fight for that time and honestly steal that time. And we don't have a lot of friends. We have no family around and we're in a new area and we're not like close to a base. And so it's just, it's hard. It is really hard. So I've just really been talking to Jesus a lot about that. Like, because I want that passion for our marriage to be there. I want that desire and that friendship. But I need Jesus to have that happen. And then on top of that, I need to actually like prioritize that time and spending that time together. And it's not going to look like it once did. I don't want it to. I want it to look like how God wants it to look now. I don't know exactly how right now, but things are happening and I see God putting the pieces into play. And so I'm really grateful for that. Friendship is a huge one right now in our home. Just that we have not only for us, but for our kid, like that she is an only child and she's a military kid and that's freaking rough. And she's asked me now many nights, Mommy, can you pray for friends? Can you pray for friends? Let's just pray for that one good friend. And so we've just really been praying for that and speaking that over her. That book, Praying the Scriptures for Your Life and Praying the Scriptures for Your Children, is huge. And if anyone else, if you don't have those two books, get them immediately into your home, because I can grab that and I can go to the chapter that gives me exact scriptures to pray over my child for friendship or over my marriage or over my own friends in my life, right? Like I've kind of gotten to a place where I've released that now. Like I want the friends in my life that God wants there. I'm tired of making those decisions because I'm really bad at it and it really hurts. Whereas instead it's like, if I leave this to him, it's really good. So those have been kind of the main things. And then just praying that my season in life move more towards being a mom. I work full time and it's my husband, again, the military is super funnest.
The best.
And I feel like I am constantly in training mode for her and I am constantly like, just, you know, I work two full-time jobs. Let's put it, and let's be honest. And there's nothing against it. That's just what it is. That's my role. God designed me as a helper for my husband. And there's just a lot. And my husband, I actually have a really good one who is an amazing dad. And so, but I want to be a mom full-time. So that is kind of my goal in life, is shifting towards that direction. So that's one part. And then the other part, there has just been a lot that has been shown to me, like within the church home and just the church in general. So if you're kind of new to this, the church, we are the church. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he now dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, and you are the church, the bride of Christ. And so when I reference that, that's what I'm referencing. But most of us know it as, you know, church. We go to church on Sunday, which is I call like the church home, my church home. So there has been twofold to that, like the church and the church home. And I'm going to do a follow up. If you haven't listened, I did an episode a while ago now about pastors. We need relationships with you. Go listen to that. It gives a lot of scriptural reference as to where I'm coming from and what's happening. But it was like God showed me that blind spot, and then it just, I thought we were done. I'm going to do a follow-up. I did. I went in and I spoke to my pastor. I spoke to quite a few people. Things have come from that. And I keep looking at God. I'm like, okay, now I'm done. I was like, I did what you told me to do. And I can't let it go, Tara. And it's just,
Because you're not done. That was just
it's not,
the
I'm not.
Tip and of the iceberg.
But I need to be, this is one of those places where, and I'll explain more I'll do an episode by myself with that, but just where you have to enter into these things with humility and love and gentleness and make sure you remind yourself that these are children of God that you are addressing, and God does not, you know, he protects his children. And so just making sure again that I am hearing his voice and I am taking his lead, because at the same time, we as the church, I think we forgot that we're going to be deceived if we haven't been already. Many of us are just existing and we're lazy. That's basically what it is. We've allowed Satan himself to come in and kind of form our church homes as we know them today. They're becoming more businesses than they are, you know, a house of prayer. Like Jesus himself said, how dare you? Don't turn this into anything besides a house of prayer. Because he was greeted by mercenaries, not missionaries. So there's been just like, why? Why does our church look the way it does, our church homes? Why do we do things the way we do? I'm asking these questions. My husband actually looked at me and goes, what does God say about it? And so I was like, why is that my reflex? A, but B, I was like, that's a great thought. What does God say? And so it's actually been so good because it's pushed me into his word and the design he has for these church homes, for our pastors, elders, teachers, apostles, you know, whatever, evangelists, all the things, the fivefold ministry or whatever. I may have missed all of it. So that's one part of it. And then the other part is we, as Jesus followers, I think we've just really missed the mark. And I've been intrigued with recognizing and honoring like the Jewish day holidays and festivals and like all the things, like Jesus himself participated. I'll sit there and I'll decorate for Valentine's Day, but I didn't know what Shabbat was until recently. That's the day before the Sabbath that you welcome it in. And why aren't we recognizing these things? The Passover. What? Why aren't we recognizing the Passover? Like, and remembering what that meant and just what that was to like foretelling of what was to come. And why aren't we getting our kids engaged with this and stopping and slowing down and getting back to the basics? This is the good stuff. And we're missing it. We are missing it because we're so busy and we're doing all the things and checking all the boxes that we're forgetting to be in real relationship with our brothers and sisters as the body of Christ, like we are told to do. And we're not discipling anymore. We're just like, we're confusing it between volunteering and discipleship. Like that's not the same thing. You're serving in that way. Absolutely. But that's not all of it. Right. And so
we tried to go to the extreme opposite of like, we were trying to get away from the religion of those ceremonies and like worshiping those days and those ceremonies and pull towards God. But we like went from having this religion to like nothing instead of like, let's focus on the relationship. Let's focus on what has happened and why it was important. You don't need to worship that ceremony, but you can still, there's still
remember it. Yeah.
Remember what,
and
it
the
is.
Significance of it. And yeah, there's this, I'm going to mess it up.
That was the most eye-opening thing about when I went to Israel, because I went to Israel.
Oh yeah. You went to Israel.
I went to Israel. And if you ever get an opportunity to go to Israel, do it, because there is just something about like walking up those steps.
Well, that's what the whole Bible's leading
to. Out. Like I'm standing on the steps and I'm like, this is where he flipped the table and threw the oxen. Like I'm standing right where this happened. It's overwhelming. It gives me goosebumps just talking about
it.
So
cool.
But
she got to go with her dad too.
Going there and seeing the extremes of things. Like they are religious in what, in their prayer and going to the wall and like seeing people sit there and pray for hours and hours on end. Personally, I don't understand that aspect because I don't feel like I have to go to a wall to pray.
Because well, they're still stuck in old covenant. Yeah,
exactly. So like we have such extreme views. And it's like, can we find a happy medium where we still honor that happens, but know that God is God. Like,
as Christians, it's 100%. Yeah. Well, and there's
we've just like thrown it out the window.
There's a Rabbi Jason Sobel, I think it's Fusion Global is his. He's a Messianic Jew, meaning he is Jewish, but he is a Christian. So he's amazing at what he offers. He actually has this thing called this Friday Night Supper Club. And it teaches you how to participate in Shabbat as a Christian. So he actually, and he has a book on all of this. So
we
you can actually reach
in Shabbat when we were in Israel, because right? Our guide was a Messianic Jew. And he was like telling us, and he was like, if you
That's
guys
amazing.
Want to down here and we'll do Shabbat and like I'll talk. And he told us all about it. It was like the most mind blowing thing ever. But
and it's just crazy because who doesn't love a good celebration or reason to get together, break bread, do all the things? I mean, it's just like, yeah,
he's real good at isolating us.
100%. And now he's made it weird or just it's completely gone in general. Yeah. I don't think we even because literally I was like, what's Shabbat? Is that bread? I didn't understand what that even meant. That's not okay. And so I'm going to put that actually in like the show note thingies or whatever, if you guys want to go look at his stuff. So that is kind of where I'm going to speak for myself. I have been is in this place of just, I want more of God and I want to experience more of God in the ways I can here. And I just want to press more into that. And I'm going to start asking more questions and asking questions and wanting a biblical perspective as to why. So that's my update on just where I've been. There has been, and it's crazy because I've talked to a lot of people about this and the response is, it's kind of the same as mine. It's almost foreign and it shouldn't be. And it is. And a lot of people actually get defensive, which is very weird to me. I'm finding that as a big response. Again, I'm not trying to tear down the church. I'm trying to build it up. Like, this is great. This is great. But we got a blind spot here. Like, let's do this too. Like, oh, come on. Like, when we truly live in God's design for our lives, in all parts of that, that's where the true power rests, right? Because it's Him. It's not us. Everything is about Him. It's not about us. And so I think that's just, it's been very interesting, random. And then some people like I've been seeing the light go off, like that light bulb, like, wait.
We just have to ask questions.
Well, like go to your own church, look at it. How often do you have opportunity for dialogue? Because you should know who these people are. It says there will be wolves amongst us. Like, do you know how they are? Have you ever been in a relational type thing outside of them on the stage? You know, do they know you? They're called your shepherd. Do they know you?
Are you comfortable walking up to your pastor and saying, hey, pastor, I need prayer.
Exactly.
Even if that's it. Like, or are you so disconnected from them that you don't even feel comfortable walking up to them and be like, this is my life right now. Can you pray for me? Or can you counsel me in this moment where I'm walking through this? That should be okay.
You're absolutely right. And I love that you said it because on top of that, it's not just the lead their head pastor, that doesn't exist in scripture. Yeah, you got to have someone leading the way. Absolutely. But there should be a group of elders in your church. Do you know who they are? Do you have them? Because if not, there's no accountability there. And then on top of that, ask yourself the question, do you want that relationship? Because you're told to have it. Like, or are you going to like maybe a bigger church because you're like, no, I don't want to be seen. I want nothing to do with that. That should kind of tell you your heart posture because God is very clear. And I'll go over it too. I mean, you can look in Acts 20. You can look in, I think it's 1 Peter 5. I mix them up. 1 Corinthians is to the church today for the most part. So there's a lot of parts in scripture that reference this. And it's just been something that
maybe we should come back and do a whole podcast on that.
That's just what I'm going to do. I'll do a part two and talk about what I've kind of stepped into. Again, I'm not going to lie. My feelings got real hurt. I got the hurts. Okay. I did. I had the hurts, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to unknow or I don't want to not do these things because He's the one who keeps showing it to me. And
He's opening your eyes.
Yeah.
You're just walking it out.
And He's also, there's been so much good that He's brought in the midst of this. So it's just something. Yeah. That's been a lot.
I love it. I love it.
Well,
I think that you've heard both of where we're at right now. And
that's
the
cliff notes, just so you know.
Yeah. Right. Obviously, because I didn't even put that I went to Israel in there. Like, there's been so much that's happened. But I'm going to challenge you to start asking God, what do you have for me today, Lord? Mm-hmm. A simple question. Guys, you don't need a fancy spot in your house to sit and ask that question. You don't need a Bible in front of you. You don't need anything except literally a dialogue between you and God, and just say, good morning, God. What do you got for me today? That's it. Try that every morning if you're not already doing that, and see what he does. Try it when you're walking into somewhere or some situation. Just be like, Lord, what do you have for that person right there? And you will be surprised what he says. And sometimes it's going to be as crazy as the sky's blue and the grass is green, but be ready to speak that out and walk out what he's saying to you, and be ready to watch the amazing things that come from it.
When you wake up every day, like Tara said, and I've just recently kind of gotten back into this, I definitely moved away from it. And I realized the other day, I was like, oh, my life is way too comfortable. And I realized I was living for self instead of him. And so I have now been waking up again and verbally saying, like, I die to myself and I want to pick up my cross and follow you. Thy will be done. And it's this visual, like, of me just in this complete place of like trust and submission to him. And it is a really, like, when I actually go there, man, it feels so good. And I hate that I continually try to take my own, right? And to keep it in my own power. And there's nothing there. I have nothing. And so it's just this really amazing thing. And now I love what Tara said, is because that's something I want to take into my day. Is like, what do you have for me? How can I bless others today in your name, Jesus? How can I? And just having that constant, like she said, dialogue, because most of us, when you think of, and when I ask you what comes to mind when you hear the word prayer, probably many of us, it's eyes closed, bowed heads, hands folded. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the only way to pray. And I think a lot of us need to actually pray differently so that we develop this relationship with him, so that we can hear what he has to say. And that would be, I would strongly suggest, pray while you're driving and pray while you're doing the dishes, because your eyes have to be open. And just talk to him and build that relationship. And it's going to be amazing at what he has in store for you. But he needs you to be listening and ready to be obedient when he answers you or shows you or whatever, however that looks. Yeah. So let me just clarify,
you don't need an hour alone with him every day to have a relationship with him, but it's amazing when you take that hour alone or 30 minutes or whatever and prioritize that time with him alone, just with him. You don't even need a Bible open. Great if you do. I get Bible verses, so I like to have it right there, but just give him your undivided time for him to talk to you. But if you can't, because hello, you just heard the season that I'm in with 13, 6, and 2. That doesn't happen very often, especially my husband's gone. So I talk all day long with him. And
because he's been talking to you all day this whole time. He's right there. He doesn't go anywhere. He will not leave you and he will not forsake you. We're the ones who ignore him.
Vision that I keep having.
Yeah.
Think about when you talk to somebody nowadays and they don't have their phone in their hand and they're looking at you and they're giving you their undivided attention. Ooh. How does that make your heart feel? Like, just sit there and think right now. If you are going to have a conversation with your parent or your significant other and they don't have their phone in their hand and they're looking at you and they're eager and they want to hear what you have to say, how does your heart feel?
Absolutely fantastic, because everything you just said, I'm thinking the opposite, and it's the majority of the time someone has a phone in their hand and they're not looking at you and they're half listening.
So think how God feels. It
drives me nuts. Yes.
5 minutes of our day.
Hurtful.
An hour of our day. So with that, have a great day, guys.
That's all we got. Okay, bye. See you next time. Or not. Well, we'll talk to you next time. Okay, you get it. Bye.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.